Okay, today's daf is Babasra daf Kuf Nun Ches. Today's shir should be Lezecher Nishmas Rachel Leah Bas Chaim Asher HaKohen, the mother of Henry Orlinsky, whose yahrzeit I believe is today, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah from the Zechus of our learning, and her life should continue to be an inspiration to her entire fantastic family. We are holding on the top of Kuf Nun Ches Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. First, the Mishnah is going to discuss if both a man and his wife die, but we don't know who died first, what happens to her Nichsei Melug, what happens to her Nichsei Tzon Barzel, and what happens to the money for her Ksuba, meaning who gets all of that stuff. And then the Gemara is going to get into the issue on Amud Beis, whether we're going to have a three-way machlokas, who's the muchsuk on the Nichsei Tzon Barzel, meaning because the Mishnah is going to speak vaguely about it staying with the one who has the chazaka. But how do you define who has a chazaka on Nichsei Tzon Barzel? Then the next Mishnah Amud Beis is going to discuss, if we don't know whether a man or his mother died first, who gets the mother's estate when we don't know which one of them died first? And the Gemara is going to have a machlokas, who's considered the muchsuk in the mother's nechasim? Because over there too, we're going to talk about the notion of muchsuk in that regard as well. So let's see the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Nafal Abayis Alav V'Alishto. If the house caves in on a man and on his wife, and they both die, but we don't know who died first. So Yorshe HaBaal Omrim, the Yorshim of the husband say, Isha Mesa Rishona, that the woman died first, and therefore her entire Yerusha got transferred over to her husband, and now they are inheriting all of her Yerusha. V'achar kach meis habaal. And then when the husband died, we, the Yorshe HaBaal, inherit everything that belonged to both of them. Yorshe Isha Omrim, but the Yorshim of the woman say that no, Baal meis Rishon v'achar kach meis Isha, that the husband died first and then the woman died, and therefore the husband never yarshined the wife's estate. So we, therefore, yarshined the entire wife's estate. The entire wife's estate consists of three things. There's the Nichsei Tzon Barzel, which is the Nedunya that she brings into the marriage from her father's house, and they assess what it's worth at the time of the marriage. We actually write this into the Ksuba, that we assess it at being Meya Zekuk and Kesef Tzoruf, and the husband is going to owe her Meya Zekuk and Kesef Tzoruf, regardless of whether that property goes up in value, down in value, whatever it's worth. There's the Ksuba itself, which is the Manam Asayim and the Tosefes, which is also part of our Ksubas, and then there's the Nichsei Malug. That's her own nechasim that when she gets married, which do not get assessed as part of her ksuba, and that's also considered part of her estate. So all three of those things are in dispute over here. What do you do in this situation? Now, it should just be pointed out that Rishonim asked the question, the Mukhe Yosef and the Adrama, that in our Mishnah it says that the Yorshei Isha are coming with a taina that they want to be zocha in her ksuba. And that's a little bit difficult, because Gemara in Gittin, Lamadala and Beis tells us that a woman who collects her ksuba from the Yorshei Abal has to take a shavua that the husband hadn't paid the ksuba while he was alive. The Yorshei Isha certainly are unable to take any such shavua. They have no idea if the husband paid the ksuba while he was alive. And a person can't be morish to his children money that he would have had to take a shavua to get himself. So this woman can't be morish to her children money that she wouldn't be entitled to, that she would have to take a shavua to get herself. So that's what they answer, the Rishonim say. They were talking about that the husband pottered her from a shua. The husband had already made her a guarantee during their lifetimes that she's never going to have to take such a shua. So anyway, so what's the halacha with all these things? Beishami says, since all the money is besafek, yachloku. So the halacha is the Yorshei HaBaal split it with the Yorshei HaIsha, at least the Nichsei Tzon Barzel and the Nichsei Melug get split between the Yorshei HaBaal and the Yorshei HaIsha. What about the actual ksuba? So legabi the ksuba, the Rashbam writes over here, based on the Gemara Yivam that Beishame is Moda, that it goes to the Yorshei HaBaal. Tosfos disagrees with Rashbam. Tosfos writes that even when it comes to the Ksuba, Beishame would say Yachloku. And the reason is that even though you need to collect the Ksuba from the Nichsei HaBaal, and therefore Lechora, we should say, Amotzi Mechaver Lavaraya, the Nichsei HaBaal are Muchzak, the Yorshei HaBaal are Muchzak in it, nevertheless, the Sheet of Beishame is that Ishtar Ha'omed Ligvos is Kigavoy Dami, that Ishtar that is collectible, it's as if it's already collected. So the Yorshei Isha are not considered to be towing from the Yorshei HaBaal, rather it's already becheskas. Chasam. It's already as if it's already been collected. So all of it would be Yachloku. But anyway, the way the Rashbam understands is that no, only the Nichsei Melug and Nichsei Tzom Barzel is Yachloku, but the Ksubas Isha is going to be. Like the Rashbam, the way the Rashbam says it, is going to be b'cheskas yorshei habal. Ubeis Hillel omrim, Beis Hillel says no. Nechasim b'cheskasan. The way the Rashbam understands this, the nichsei tzon barzel, they remain b'cheskasan. And the Gemara is going to discuss what on earth that means. Who is muchzak in them that we say they remain b'cheskasan? But that's nichsei tzon barzel. Ksuba b'cheskas yorshei habal. The ksuba goes to the yorshei habal because it's a chov that should be collected from the nichsei that would need to be collected from the Nichsei Habal. And since the Yorshim of the Baal are Muchsuk in it, you can't take it away from them. The Nichsei Malug that she brings into the marriage with her, Becheskas Yorshea, that belongs to the Yorshim of the father of this woman, because they, which means the Yorshim of the woman. It's a funny way of saying the Yorshei Ha'isha. Yorshea over here means the Yorshim. So it's interesting, the way the Rashbam understands it is we're talking about three separate things over here. There's Nechasim, which we assume means Tzon Barzel, that's Becheskasan. There's Ksuba, that's Becheskas Yorshei Baal. And there's Nechasim and Nechasim Yazimima, which is the Nechasim Malug, and that's Becheskas Yorshei Ha'isha. Now, one could have read this Mishnah that when we say Nechasim Becheskasan, it's just talking generally. The Nechasim all stay in their Chazaka. And specifically, the Mishnah then elaborates, what do I mean by Nechasim? The Ksuba goes to the Yorshei Baal, and the Nechasim and Nechasim Yosima goes to the Yorshei Av, and the Mishnah never addresses Nechasei Tzon Barzel. One could have read the Mishnah in that way. However, the Rishonim point out that you can't read the Mishnah that way, because the Gemara is going to discuss what does Nechasim Becheskasan mean. And if the Mishnah itself is elaborating and explaining what Nechasim Becheskasan means, so obviously the Gemara wouldn't have to ask the question, what does Nechasim Becheskasan mean? So that's why you have to say it's independent. That's how the Rashbam writes, and that's how the Rif and other Rishonim say as well. The Baal Amar happens to disagree. The Baal Amar thinks that it is a general statement, and he has a whole other Torah, a whole way of explaining what exactly the Gemara is struggling with when it asks about Nechasim Becheskasan. Now, the din that Nechasim Malug are Becheskas Yorshei Isha l'chora requires further elaboration as well, because that which before they died, the Nechasim or Becheskas Isha is not enough to say that it should still be Becheskas Isha. It's not enough of a reason to give preference to the Yorshei Isha over the Yorshei Baal, because even if they were only hers, but when she dies, there's now a suffix who the Yoresh is. Is the husband her Yoresh, or are the Yorshim that are coming to Bezin right now the Yorshim? So why would we say that the brothers automatically, that her brothers and her other Yorshim are automatically Zoche in it? So Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar, and it's quoted in Tosa Rush over here, suggests that since the Yerushas Habal is only Midrabanan, that's why we prefer the other Yorshea Isha, which are Yorshim Minatora, over the husband, who, yes, he's a Yoresh, but is only Yoresh Midrabanan. Rabbeinu Tam also suggests that even if you hold that Yerushas Habal is Minatora, still you could distinguish that Yerushas Habal is not based on Kurva, it's based on Kiddushin, it's based on the fact that they were married, whereas the Yorshea Isha, which is Yerusha based on Kurva, that's considered to be a greater Chazaka in the Nechasim. Why do I care what the Yerusha is based on, whether it's based on Kurva or it's based on the fact that they're married? So Rav Chanan explains in those Tavkuf Ayin Hey that the Baal B'chai Ishto is not considered to be Muchsak to be Yoresher, because we don't know that the husband's ever going to be Yoresher's wife. Meaning, let's say they get divorced before she dies, so he'll never be Yoresher. The fact that they are married doesn't make him a Yoresh. What makes him a Yoresh is them still being married when she dies. But as opposed to other relatives, if it's her brother, if it's her son, if it's something like that, another relative, just the fact that they are related makes them a Yorish. They already are a Yorish. And that's what makes them more of a Muchzak than the husband is a Muchzak. The Rashba gives a third approach, that there's the reason the Yerushas HaKrovim is considered stronger than Yerushas HaBaal is because the Baal could always make a Tanai not to be Yorish's wife. The Gemara Ksubas Pei Gimel talks about it, as opposed to other Yorshim, where they can't be Masalik themselves from the Yerusha. And furthermore, if the Baal dies, B'chai Yishto, he's not Yorish's wife, Bekever, to be Morish to his children. As opposed to the other Krovim, are Yorish even Bekever, even if they predecease her. They could be Yorish Bekever to be Morish to their children. Now, there was, this Mishnah plays a role, Halacha L'maisa, unfortunately, played a role, Halacha L'maisa, in a very dark chapter in Jewish history. In Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak, Chelk Aleph Simen, Samach Tes, he was asked about a case where there was a dispute between Yorshei Abal and Yorshei Isha, where it was exactly this kind of case. A man and his wife died, and we didn't know who died first. What were the circumstances? A husband, a wife, and their children were all killed in the Holocaust in Auschwitz. Someone had seen them, the entire family was told to go to the left, and that was it. Now, they owned property somewhere and machines and a factory, and the husband was mekabel it as a nedunya from his father-in-law, and it had a din of nichsei tzon barzel. So the Yorshei Abal wanted to take it, and the Yorshei Isha wanted to take it. They didn't have any children anymore. The children died with them. So Minchas Yitzchak says, this l'chora is exactly our sugya. We don't know who died first, so who gets it? So l'chora should go. If the husband died first, so then it should go to the Yorshei Isha, and if the wife died first, it should go to the Yorshei Abal. So it's exactly our sugya of Nafal Abayis Alavi Alishta, where you have to Yachloku, it's a suffix, so you split it. That's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Especially over here, there's an additional suffix. It could be that one of the children died last, so the Yorshei Isha have nothing. So then Bevada, you'd say that the Yorshei Isha don't get any more than half of the Nechzei Tzon Barzel. I mean, the claim of the Yorshei Isha is weakened a little bit because there were children in the picture over here as well. But Minchas Yitzchak says what there is to discuss is if the Yorshei Isha get half, or maybe they get even less than half. Because most of the possibilities, you know, in the case in our Mishnah, there are two possibilities. He died first, she died first. Over here, there's a third possibility. They both died first and the child died last. So most of the possibilities would point to the Yorshei Abal getting the Yerusha. So that's what Minchas Yitzchak really struggles with. And he points out that there's a Mordechai in Arasugya that makes it sound like even when it's not a 50-50 suffix, you would still say Yachloku. You would still say that you would split it. So that's an unfortunate situation that our sugya speaks directly to. Now the Gemara is going to just try to explain the Shita of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said that Nechasim, the Nechzei Tzon Barzel, are Becheskasam. So what does that mean? Becheskas mi? Who's Chazakas? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Becheskas Yorshei Abal. That the Yorshei Abal are considered the Muchzakim of it because it's their achrayus on it. If it goes down in value or up in value, it's all their loss or their gain. So it's as if it's completely theirs. So it's Becheskas, their Yorshim. Tosos on Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskel Nafal, raises the question, why don't we consider the Nechzei Tzon, meaning if that's the halacha, that it goes to the Yorshei Abal, why doesn't Beis Hillel list it together with the Ksuba? Ksuba also goes to the Yorshei Abal. The din would be the same for both of them. So the Tosos suggests that even though it has the same din, but it's the same din for totally different reasons, Nechzei Tzon Barzel, there's more of a svara to say that the Yorshei Isha should get it, because the Isha is one that brought it in from her house. But the ksuba, it's pashut, much more pashut, that it goes to the Yorshei Abal, because the Baal is mechayiv it, you know, on its own. So that's why we split them apart from each other in the Mishnah, even though at least the way Rabbi Yochanan is understanding it, they actually have the same din. There's also Machlokas Achronim. What din, through what din is the Baal Zocha in the Nechzei Tzon Barzel when his wife dies? Pnei Yeshua says that it's a din of Yerusha, that he's Yoresh the Nechzei Tzon Barzel. The Avnei Milum in Simon Nun Bey, Sivkat and Aleph, and in Simon Sadi, Sivkat and Dalit, disagrees. He says even without a din of Yerusha, he's Zocha in it, because the Chiyuv of the Baal to return the Nechasim to the Isha is only if they get divorced or he dies. If she dies first, it will never, there will never be a Zman Piron. There will never be a time that he's got to give it back. And Mimela, the Baal is going to be Zoche in it. So Rav Shmuel in his Shiurim points out that according to the Avnei Milum, we understand very well what the Gemara says over here, that the Nechasim are B'cheskos Yorshei Baal, because there's no suffix B'Yerusha. It's a suffix whether he gives Zman Piron and you have to pay it to the Yorshei Isha or not. So if the Baal dies first, if the Baal died first, so the Zman Piron came. If the Isha died first, the Zman Piron didn't come. And Amotzi Mechaver Lavarai, you can't take the money away misafik. But according to the Pnei Yeshua, L'chora, it's a little bit more difficult, because the chiv of the Baal to return the Nechse Tzom Barzel is like any other chov, and it's mistavrev that if the husband borrowed money from the Isha, and then the house caved in on them, and there's a suffik who yarshins the chov, then it should be like all the other Nechse Isha, it should be like the Nechse Melug, where her yarshim are going to be Zocha. Now, we should have said the same thing over here, according to the Pnei Yeshua. So that's the Ha'ara that Rav Shmuel has in the Shurim, that this Machlokas, whether it works Midin Yerusha, or it works Midin without the din of Yerusha, it's just that the chiv of a Baal, because it's the Zman Piron, is going to play a role in terms of whether our Gemara makes sense. So anyway, back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan is the first Shita. What does it mean that the Nichsei Tzon Barzel are Beches Kasan? Rabbi Yochanan says it means Yorshe HaBaal get to keep it. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Beches Kas Yorshe Isha. That no, the Yorshe Isha get to keep it. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara Omer. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says in the name Bar Kapara, Yachloku, that they split it. V'chein Tane Bar Kapara, and Rabbi Bar Kapara also taught the same thing in his Seder HaMishnayos. Just like Rebbe was Mesader Mishnayos, and Rabbi Chir and Ravashi were Mesader Brysos, so Bar Kapara was Mesader, a set of Mishnayos as well. Ha'il v'alalu ba'in lirash, alalu ba'in lirash, Yachloku, since everyone is trying to come and take the Yerusha, so he split it. That's the psak of Bar Kapara. Okay, new Mishnah. Zak the Mishnah. Again, a case of two people dying simultaneously or close to simultaneously, and we don't know who died first. Nafal abayis alav v'al imo. A house caves in on a guy and his mother. So let's say on Yosef and his mother Rachel. So Yaakov, the father, had died previously. So the woman has all this, all these nechasim. Now Yosef and Rachel die. We don't know who died first. So the Yorshei Ha'eim, Rachel's Yorshim, say maybe the son died first and then the mother died. So she didn't. The only Yorshim she has to give over her Yerusha to are us. So we should be Yorish all of her nechasim. Yorshei HaBen, like Yosef's brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, they all, especially the brothers from another mother, they say that all the Nechasim belong to them. And because maybe Rachel died first, so Yosef yarshined all those Nechasim. Yosef doesn't have any children, so good. So Reuven, Shimon, Levi, all of Leah's children will now be Yoresh Yosef. So that's the timeless. Elu ve'elu modin. So in this case, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Sheyach Loku, that the Yorshei HaEim and the Yorshei HaBen split it because they're both coming with the same taina of Yerusha. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Moda Ani, I would agree that according to Beis Hillel, who says that Nechasim are B'cheskasan, Bezu, in this case, Shah Nechasim B'cheskasan. In this case, for sure, Nechasim B'cheskasan, and no one would disagree. Everyone would agree to Beis Hillel. Amar Lo Ben Azai, Al Chalukin Anu Mitztarin, El Shabbos Al Chalik Aleinu Vas Hashav, and he says, come on. We finally had a case that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agreed. They disagreed already on Amar Aleph, and that we accepted. Now you're coming to make a machlokas where there's no machlokas, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would both agree that it's yachloku, and now you're trying to say that they disagree in this case as well. No, we would rather assume like the Tanakama had said. Okay, so says Gemara, b'cheskas mi. We had said Rabbi Akiva had said that according to Beis Hillel, the nichsei ha'eim are b'cheskasan. They remain b'cheskasan. Who's chazaka? Rabbi Ila Amar b'cheskas Yorshei Ha'eim. It means in the chazaka of the Yorshei Ha'eim, because the Gemara is going to explain that it's huchsak in the shevet of the mother. So as long as the mother was alive after her husband died, it was b'cheskasa because she herself was from her father's shevet. So they were b'cheskas that shevet. So her mishpacha is zochin, not her son who comes from the shevet of his own father. Rabbi Zera Amar b'cheskas Yorshei Ha'ben. Then no, it goes. It's b'chazaka karka of the Yorshei Ben, because from the time that the husband died, the Ben is the one who's ra'ui to be Yoresh before any of the other relatives. So Kisalik Rabbi Zeru, when Rabbi Zeru went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, kam b'shitaseid Rabbi Ila, he changed his mind and he agreed to Rabbi Ila that it goes to the Yorshei Aim. Amar Rabbi Zera Shemamina Avira Eretz Yisrael Machken. He says, the fact that I was able to change my mind when I came to Eretz Yisrael, because I saw the light, I realized how wrong I was initially, that shows you something about the Avira Eretz Yisrael, that it gives a person a certain amount of wisdom. Why is it that the Avira Eretz Yisrael is machkim? So Tzafnas Paneach writes, the Ragachavar, that the Avir of Eretz Yisrael is machkim because it was niskadesh through Re'ias Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu got to look at the entire Eretz Yisrael, and that gave it Kedusha. And anything that's Maisi Yodav Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Sota Daf Tes tells us, is never nisbata liolam. It remains forever. So the Avir of Eretz Yisrael is machkim, even bizman hazeh, because anything that was done by Moshe Rabbeinu remains forever. That's the notion of Avir of Eretz Yisrael machkim. The time of now, why tapo was he choser? Amar bai hol v'huchs nachla ba'osu shevet. Since it was the nachla was huchsak and not shevet of the mother, the shevet of the mother during her lifetime, like we said before. So when she dies and now there's a suffix, do the nechasim leave that shevet? No, we leave it in the chazaka of that shevet that always had it. Now just a point about Avir Eretz Yisrael machkim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Hakdama to a Siddur that when the Gemara in Tainis Daf Zayin says that a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to learn without a chavrusa, that he's a cherev al abadim, that it's a cherev al ksefer shel tamid chacham shelom dim bad bevad, that sit and learn alone, and that they become more foolish by learning alone. He says you don't have to worry about that in Eretz Yisrael. You only have to worry about that in Chutz La'aretz, because the whole concern is that you're going to become more foolish in Eretz Yisrael. Avira Eretz Yisrael Machkin. That's then, like our Gemara says. So you're never going to come to any ta'us just because you're learning alone. That's quite a chiddush, that Avira Eretz Yisrael plays a role in terms of one's attitude toward how one should approach learning. That one could learn without a chavrusa. You know, many of the great geniuses in our history learned without a chavrusa. They just felt that they didn't need a chavrusa. That they were very strong in learning without a chavrusa. They tell that the story, I think, of Rav Huttner when he was in Slabodka, that Rav Huttner was sitting there learning all by himself in the Beis Medrash, and the altar came over to Rav Huttner and said, where's your chavrusa? He said, I don't have one. So the altar said, you need a chavrusa. Everyone needs a chavrusa. So tomorrow I'm going to come back. I want to see that you have a chavrusa. Okay, so Rav Huttner went about his business. Next day, he's sitting there learning alone, and the altar comes over to him and says, where's your chavrusa? So he said, my chavrusa. He said, did you find a chavrusa? He said, yes. So he said, where is he? He said, my chavrusa is my yetzer hara. So the altar said, if you're going to learn with a chavrusa like that, at least you should make it your yetzer tov, not your yetzer hara. And Rav Huttner said, no, my yetzer hara is much smarter than my yetzer tov. I'd much rather learn with my yetzer hara. But the point is that sometimes people learn without a chavrusa, but that's not the normal healthy thing to do. Regular people require chavrusa, and even if you're not learning with a chavrusa, you're not learning with somebody else, it's important to talk in learning with other people. You're going to try to come to some sort of halachic conclusion in your learning, which is always the goal of learning lasuke shmeitza, aliba de hilchasa, to try to arrive at halachic conclusions. It could very well be, no matter how smart you are, that you might be missing something, you might be misreading something, misunderstanding something, you might not have realized a certain angle to look at it from. It's important to talk over with other people. The value of chavrusa, you know, that's the expression they borrow from the Gemara earlier in the Masechta about chavrucha de chavru de Iyov, that o chavrusa o misusa, that better it's chavrusa or death. Person needs someone to learn with. But so it's quite a chiddush. Rabbi Yaakov Emden is suggesting, yeah, but not if you're in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't really need a chavrusa. The Chassam Sofer is mechadish, that Avira Eretz Yisrael is machkim even for goyim and of the avodah zara. And he says, he explains that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that the Ovdei Kochavim Shebechutz La'aretz are just minag avoseim biyadeim. They're not real, genuine Ovdei Kochavim. Chassam Sofer understands that to mean that there's a certain spiritual sensitivity in Eretz Yisrael. So only the even in Avodah Zarah, only the people in Eretz Yisrael have a shita. It could be a very terrible mistaken shita of Avodah Zarah, but only they really have a shita, because only they are sensitive enough to have a theology. So having a theology is part of Avira D'Aradi Yisrael Machkin, that it's only in Eretz Yisrael that one would develop such a theology. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, one doesn't develop that. That's the notion of Avira D'Aretz Yisrael Machkin. Then it's Siv writes in his Hakdama to the She'iltos that, you know, the Gemara says at the end of Ksubis that someone, a Talmid Chacham from Eretz Yisrael, is twice as good as someone from Bavel, but a Talmid Chacham who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is twice as good as the native Israeli Talmid Chacham. Why? So the Nitziv explains. Because in Bavel it requires much more amelus, because in Eretz Yisrael it happens automatically. Avira D'Aretz Yisrael Machkim. That's why the Talmud Yerushalmi doesn't have all these pilpulim. It's a Mishnah and then straight Halacha. There, you don't have all these pilpulim in Yerushalmi, because it's the Avira D'Aretz Yisrael is Machkim. It gives them like sort of a direct and clear path, and that became their style in learning. But in Bavel, it required a lot more amelus. They had to work through everything and every angle till they were able to arrive at the emes. So there's a certain advantage of being from Eretz Yisrael over being from Bavel. But you know what's even better, the Gemara says, the way the Nitziv explains, is if you were trained in the ways of Bavel, so you could build the sugya on your own if you needed to, and then you went to Eretz Yisrael, then you experienced that additional siyata d'shmaya of going to Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, so that's a little bit about the issue of Avir Dar Yisrael Machtim. Let's just go a little bit further, and then we'll end a little early. The Mishnah said, Amlo ben Azai, ala chalukin onu mitzta'arin, but you try to be mechalik aleinu es hashavin as well. So the Gemara says, Amra b'simloi, ada amra. From our Mishnah we could learn, Ben Azai Talmud Chaver Rabbi Akiva Hava. Ben Azai was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, because even though originally Ben Azai was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, he ultimately became a Talmud Chaver. To come lay, because look at the way he addresses Rabbi Akiva. He said, Shebasa, that you came, meaning speaking to him in second person, not in third person, not Shebar Rabbeinu. The Gemara is making a point over here that normally when speaking to a Talmud Chacham, to a Rebbe, one is supposed to speak in third person. That is a sign of respect. Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechter often points out, yes, it's a sign of respect in Aramaic, in Hebrew, in Yiddish, but it's not a sign of respect in English. In English, it just sounds funny. So he doesn't think it's necessary to do that when speaking English. Does Rebbe want this? Does a, you know, I remember when I was in Rav Shechter Shir, there used to be one guy that would always refer to him in third person, and not only would refer to him in third person, but would refer to him as the Rav. Now, everyone else in YU knew the Rav as Rav Soloveitchik, so it got very confusing. The guy would always say, what does the Rav think about this? And Rav Shechter would always say, I never asked Rav Soloveitchik about that. He never, he didn't even understand the conversation, because he found it so odd to speak in third person. But you do see that there is such a Masorah, and many yeshivas, that's what they do, that they speak in third person. Now, what is this idea of Talmud Chaver? So the Rashbam understands that Talmud Chaver means someone who originally was a Talmud and then ultimately grew into a Chaver. In the Sefer Yad Malachi, he points out that there are other Rishonim that disagree. Rashbam again over here in Tosas and Nida, Talmud Chaver, someone was a Talmud, then became much wiser, became a Chaver. But Rashi in Erev and Samach Gimel and the Rambam in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Talmud Torah say that someone who is a Talmud Mufak and learned Rov Chachmaso from his Rebbe can never rise to the level of Talmud Chaver, even if he becomes a bigger Talmud Chacham than the Rebbe. Talmud Chacham means, Talmud Chaver means someone who's as big a Chacham, but he learned one or two things from the other person. That's a Talmud Chaver. But if it's your Rebbe Muvak, you will never be a Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chaver rather. You always have to be, there always has to be that hierarchy. The Yad Malachi also brings that in Rabbeinu Gershom over here, it sounds a little more like Rashi and the Rambam, because he says Ben Azai didn't disagree, he was not Choli Kavod to Rabbi Akiva so much, because they both went to learn Torah in front of Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. So since Ben Azai was a younger person, he wasn't able to understand all of the dinim that Rabbi Elazar was teaching them, so Rabbi Akiva would explain some of the things. So the real Rebbe was Rabbi Eliezer, it's just that Rabbi Akiva would explain certain things. So that's why Ben Azai was able to rise to a Talmud Chaver status. But had he been a Talmud Muvak, he would never have been able to rise to a Talmud Chaver status. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow at Shol Chumitam, four lines from the bottom.